All right, so we're in a series. We are talking about painting a picture of Christ with our life. We're painting a picture of Christ, and we want to paint it right. We want to make sure we're painting the right Christ, painting the right picture of Christ. And so I brought in these master samples of a color that we stain at work. And these are the masters. Everything goes off of this. Everything we make goes back, and we look at this, and there's a light one and a darker one, a redder one, and kind of how the wood moves it a little bit, but it's all acceptable. We always go back to the master to make sure we're staining or painting the right shade, the right color. And so today I want to talk to you a little bit about this in a finer way, in a more detailed, specific way. And here's kind of where we're going. So like, I have this stain made to stain these pieces. And there's a recipe. There's actually a formula for this. And in the staining business, you have a colorants that you would add. And sometimes it's called like yellow G or brown 10 or dark brown 6, and it's different types of browns and yellows. There's reds, and then you actually have a formula where it's X so many ounces of, say, yellow G, and it's 6 ounces of red something something. And so there's an actual formula that is made to make this exact color. And once I have the exact ingredients, then it's just a matter of me getting the right shade. It's not too dark or it's not too light. I can take this stain and I can go real light, or I can really flood it on there and make it real dark. But it's the right formula of brown. This is the right stain, and I can have different shades. And all I have to do is just get the right shade. If I have the wrong formula, and I have the wrong stain, if I introduce more red or more yellow or more white, then I have a totally different color, and I can't match this color if the ingredients are wrong. If the formula is not right, I can't get this at all. And I'm just, it's futile at that point. But if I have the right formula, I have the right stain, it's just a matter of me getting the shade right. And that's true within Christianity. That's true within church. I mean, we're all reading the Bible, and unless you have the right formula, the right Bible, the right ingredients, if you introduce new thoughts or new visions or new ideas into the master, you have a whole different color. We're not talking about the same faith or the same religion. If you've introduced something other into this, or you've left something out of this, you're not going to match the color of Christ. If we're all reading the same Bible and we're all in the same formula, we can grow into, even though some of us are a little lighter, some of us are a little darker, we're tweaking to get the right shade, we're still going to end up at the right color if we stay just with the formula right here. So that's what we're talking about today, is adding other ingredients or taking away some of the colors. You'll never paint the picture of Christ, right? But if we have the right formula and we stay right within the right word here, we may have some varying shades as we grow, but we will paint the right picture. It begins to talk about that in 1 John chapter 2, and that's where we're going to be today, is 1 John chapter 2. We're going to look back at some of the verses we looked at last week. But he describes it in a very different way. And the caution of this is so amazing for us today. It is so real for us today. I want to read to you 1 John chapter 2. I want to read this passage to you. Follow along with me, if you would. 1 John chapter 2. And I'm going to read, beginning at verse 19. And I'm going to read through the end of the chapter. They went out from us. They left from us. But they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they are not all of us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. But the anointing that you received from him, it abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. He uses some words and some thoughts, some pictures in here that are somewhat foreign to us today. But let me just start this way. The Holy Spirit has been tossed around and misshaped, and man, there are so many odd and weird and strange ideas floating around so-called Christianity today about the Holy Spirit that it's just kind of amazing, really. And it's kind of scary for some. I mean, some churches just stay away from this whole idea of the Holy Spirit because there's so much distortion to go with the truth of the Word. And so it's a weird subject sometimes to start talking about the Holy Spirit. And everybody wants to know about these fanciful, crazy, miraculous. That's where everybody wants to go. But I'm going to start right here and just say, if you're here today, and you're a true believer, you have given your life to Christ, you believe in Jesus the Christ, and you believe in the Son and Father together, the two sides of the same coin. If you believe that, the Holy Spirit has already done something in you. You are a work of the Holy Spirit already. Now, you know the Holy Spirit has come in. You know that you're given the Holy Spirit. But in these verses, it says this in 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. You have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. And he speaks of this in this strange kind of a wording. He uses the word anointed. You've been anointed by the Holy One. He anointed us, little children. Now, in the Old Testament and in the New, let me show you a little bit about this. Anointing. Anointing is they took oil and literally They probably had a flask. They may or may not have had a bowl, depending on the situation. But they literally took it and they poured it on the head. And it even describes in one point, Aaron and the sons, the priests were anointed when they took office. And it talks about them pouring the oil on it, and it ran down their hair and down their beard. I mean, they didn't spare the oil. You know what I mean? They poured it on them. But lest you should think that it's just that sacred, holy thing, I want you to know that anointing was typical and daily. Ruth anointed herself before she went into to Boaz to see Boaz. She said, you know, take a bath, get your hair done, anoint yourself, you know, I mean, put a little product on, you know, look good before you go into Boaz. And King Saul, the king that Israel chose, not the good King David, the King Saul before him, he was anointed, and then David was anointed. And God talks about if you're disobedient, your olive crop will fail and you won't have oil to anoint yourself. So anointing wasn't just this sacred, holy thing. It was a really a daily part of their life. It was something that happened. It was symbolic. It was ceremonial. When the priests were anointed with oil, they were consecrated and ordained, and it was a symbolic kind of ceremonial anointing over them, of a placement of them into office, and of a blessing on them, covering them. It was poured on them. And so it was a ceremonial thing, it was a cosmetic thing, it was very much a daily part of their life. One of the passages that kind of sparked me is back there in Exodus and Leviticus, where you find it. But they gave the formula, and we're talking about formulas today. They gave the formula. God had a formula for the holy anointing oil. And when I read this formula, I know enough about oils and smells that I just thought of a plate of warm French toast. And I thought, wow, that's pretty cool. Because the anointing, I mean, it gave the recipe. The recipe was, and it gave it in actual numbers. It's like 250 ounces or whatever it was, whatever they used. But he gave, you know, 500 of this and 250 of that, and it was just like a stain formula. But they were using, listen to this, they were using myrrh, and that was a main ingredient. So I don't know a lot about myrrh, but the second one was cinnamon. And I know what cinnamon smells like. And an aromatic cane. That says sugar to me. That says some sweet aromatic cane. And cassia is kind of a woody, earthy smell. And olive oil. And so when I read this right away, I thought about French toast. I said, all right, butter. It's got that nutty, sweet butter. And then you take a little cinnamon and a little sugar. And it melts down into that butter. And I'm just going, oh man, the tabernacle was smelling really good. It was smelling like, you know, Tony's Diner or something on Sunday morning. It just, that French toast and that beautiful smell, it was sweet. Cinnamon, I love the smell of cinnamon. So he gave a formula, and this was the exact oil that God wanted used to anoint. They anointed the priests. They anointed the altar. They anointed the tabernacle. And it was all smelling with this smell, this beautiful smell of cinnamon and butter and maple syrup. No, but it was smelling good, all right? So everything was anointed, and this thing was smelling so sweet and beautiful, and it had the blessing of Christ. Now, there was no Holy Spirit on the altar, per se, or on the tabernacle. I mean, those are inanimate objects, but it had God's blessing poured out on them. And it was a picture later, really, of the Holy Spirit's blessing on them in some way. But it says here very clearly in verse 20, 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, that you have been anointed by the Holy One. If you're here and you're a genuine believer, this verse is true. You have been anointed by the Holy One. When you accepted Christ, you know that this, the Spirit was poured out over you. Bible tells us that Jesus was anointed. And you remember the picture of the baptism, the Holy Spirit coming down like a dove. He was anointed, and the Holy Spirit, he was the first one. He said, the Spirit's with you, but he will be in you. And so the Holy Spirit, if you're a believer, has been poured out right over your head, just covered you, and now he's in you. And look what happens when you get the Holy Spirit. You've been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. You have knowledge. There's some knowledge that you have. There is something you have right now when you were anointed by the Holy One. There's some piece of knowledge you get with that immediately. Okay? I write to you not because you don't know the truth, but because you know it. You know the truth about this subject. He's not writing to you, believers, because you don't know it. He's writing to you because you do know it. So you've been anointed. The Holy Spirit's been given to you, and there's some bit of knowledge you have, and you know the truth about this. Whatever it is he's talking about, you know it's true because the Holy Spirit is in you and has been poured out over you, and you know it. Now, these guys didn't have everything that we have. They certainly didn't have a leather-bound Bible. They had some information, for sure. They had the apostles and teaching and letters going around. But let's face it, they didn't carry this book. But he says, I can confidently say, because you have this anointing, you know the truth about this subject. That's pretty good. And I would say the same thing to you. For those of us who are in Christ, have the Holy Spirit, we have knowledge and we know the truth. No question. We know this truth. I like this phrase. It says, because no lie is of the truth. What you have is knowledge. And what we have is truth. And in this truth that we have, and Jesus tipped us off, he said, sanctify them, Lord, in your truth. Your word is truth. And so the word of God is truth. And he says, there's no lie that's a part of the truth. So if this recipe, if this formula, if this word is the truth, if this is it, there's no lie that can be a part of it. It's not like some of this is true and some of it's not, but it all kinds of works together for God to form what he wants us to have. That says no lie is of the truth. This is truth or it's not. We need to understand that. The Bible's very clear about that. There's no lie that's of the truth. God doesn't use lies to develop the truth or true teaching. This is either true or it's not. And you know that. The Holy Spirit has come in to you and he has poured over us, and we have knowledge and we have the truth and we know that to be true. And he says, I don't need to tell you that. I don't need to teach you that. You already know that. There's no lie of the truth. It's either all true or it's all false. It's not both. It's not mixed. There's no lie part of the truth. So those of you in your heart who have Christ are settled on this fact, this word of God. It's true. This is God's word. It's true. He tells us, who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? That's the liar. No lie is of the truth. So here's the teaching. Here's what he's telling them. You believe in Jesus. Eh? You say, I believe in Jesus. But if you say Jesus is not the Christ, that's a lie. Matter of fact, that's the spirit of Antichrist. And that's not part of the truth. So if you say, I believe the Bible and I believe about Jesus, I don't believe he's the Son and the Father, the same coin with two sides. I don't believe he's the Father as the Son, the two in one. I don't believe that. I don't believe Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. By the way, Christ means anointed one. Anointed one of God. Messiah is the Hebrew word, Mashiach, for anointed one. All through the Bible, they understood Messiah, the Christ. They understood this is God's Son. This is the one. This is God come in the flesh. This is the anointed one. They knew that. You know that. If the Holy Spirit rests in you, if the Holy Spirit has been poured out on you, you know that. And there is no such thing. There is no such thing as this is God's word. Kind of, there's some true stuff in here, but it all teaches a good message. Some true, some's not true. They probably didn't say this. This ain't right. Don't take this literal, but do this. And Jesus, well, he was a good man. He wasn't, I don't know about the Christ. I don't know about this thing. He's God. But he was a good man, and he's teaching us there is no such thing, according to John. There is no lie of the truth. And Jesus is the Christ, or it's a liar and it's the Antichrist. And there is not part of this that's true and part of it's, well, I don't know, well, but it works together. It teaches us. I don't know where that's coming from, but that's what John is saying right here. Don't believe that. Don't go there. There is no lie about Christ or about the Word that mixes in and forms a good thing from God. It's either all true or it's a lie. And Jesus either is or he's not, and you have something entirely different. You've introduced a new element into the teaching. You're painting with a whole different color, and you will never match the master. You're unsaved if you don't believe Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son and Father, and this message is truth. From God, you're not a believer. You're going to come up with an entirely different color. That's important. That's what John is saying right here. He says, no one who denies the Father, this is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. And in the Greek, those two are together, the Father and the Son, together. That's a package. They know what he was saying. Those two. The coin, it has two sides. It's the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father because they're the same coin. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. You want heads, you get tails too. Listen to what he says. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. So you are anointed, given the Spirit, and you know this now. You know. You can't describe it. You can't document it. You can't give me a formula, but you know because the Spirit lives in you. You know who Jesus is, and you know the truth is God's Word. You know it. Not watered down, not new elements. You know this is God's Word. Right? And he says, let what you heard from the very beginning remain in you. Remain in you. In verse 28, he says, I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. There are those trying to introduce new elements. There are those trying to teach new things about Jesus and the truth. Now, tell me that's not true today in this world. Tell me that truth is not relevant today, that every television show, every other internet program, every other thing is trying to introduce new thoughts, new colors, new things into the recipe about Jesus and the Word of God and say, look, now, wait a minute. That's happening all over today. Guess what? It happened then. You're not experiencing anything today they didn't experience in the first century. And that's what John is saying. Let the story, let the gospel, let the truth you heard from day one remain in you. Don't move off of this. Don't be deceived. That this message is so vital for us today. All you got to do is turn on the History Channel, Discover Channel. All you got to do is turn on the computer, who was Jesus, and you will get everything under the sun. In the name of science and technology and knowledge. And I'm telling you, you have the knowledge you need to have from the Holy Spirit about Jesus and the truth. Let no one deceive you. Abide in it. Let it abide in you. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. We are so fortunate to have what we have about the beginning. When John wrote his letter, the Gospel of John, he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning of this story for them is in the beginning of your salvation, in the beginning when I first started to teach you, we have the beginning letters in the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's the beginning of the life of Christ. That's the beginning story of what happened. And we have it. And John taught it. And he says, what I taught you from the very beginning, hang on to that. People are going to try and introduce new thoughts. And you have the Holy Spirit, the anointing of it in you, and you know this is true. Don't be moved. Don't let them shake you. Don't let them move you. Don't let them rattle you. Don't let them cause you to question. Stay right there on it. Let what you heard from the beginning, let my teaching, let my story, let that truth abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. What's that mean? Well, the word abide means to rest or dwell. And if you don't let your truth that you have, if you don't let the world or some other religion of another teaching, if you don't let them change the entire color of Jesus and the truth, you're going to dwell, abide in unity and in fellowship with the Son and the Father. Your life is going to see Jesus. That's basically what it says. You are going to dwell with them. And John talks about this in John chapter 15. I find this amazing. Let me show you something absolutely amazing in John chapter 14 and 15. If you want to turn there, turn in your Bible. I just have references for you. But it's really pretty amazing. In John, this is John writing about Jesus, John chapter 14. This is the beginning story. Verse 23. John chapter 14, verse 23. Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I'm still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me saying to you, I'm going away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. Now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. So he talks about the Holy Spirit coming. He talks about this truth and this word, and they will come and be at home with you. In John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So here's the truth and the Spirit of truth that's coming that will guide us into truth. And in another chapter in John, he says he will cause you to remember everything that I've taught you. And then he goes into John chapter 15. And he says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Listen to what he says. Abide in me, and I in you. You're clean because the word I've spoke to you. It's John chapter 15, verse 4. Abide in me and I in you. Rest in the words I have spoken to you. Stay in the words I have spoken to you. Stay right there. Dwell right there. And the Father's going to come and they're going to make their home in you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you wish and it will be done for you. So John is teaching the beginning teaching again to these people. And he says, you have an anointing. The Spirit's come and you know in your heart who Jesus is and he's true. And you know his words and the words that we taught you that Jesus taught himself. You know these are truth. Stay there. And if you do, you are going to see Jesus and God make their home in your life. And you're going to bear a lot of fruit and you are going to see God working in your life. If you abide in me, if you let my words dwell, rest, make their home in you, me and the Father are going to come and live in your house. And you're going to do amazing things in your life. You are going to see me. What's the most tragic thing we see? It's someone who claims to understand and know Jesus, and they don't abide in him. They are constantly floating, adding information, things into the mix, into the recipe of Jesus and the truth. His words aren't resting in them. They are constantly throwing colors in and taking colors out and changing. And they say they believe in Jesus, but I'm still gathering information. I'm still being taught. I'm still adding my thoughts and philosophies in it. And what it says is you're not abiding in him and his word. What you heard from the beginning, and you're never going to see him. You're never going to paint the picture of Jesus. Fruit? No. You're not going to bear any fruit. You can't. It's not the fruit of the Spirit. Let my words abide, dwell, live in you. And we will live with you. And you're going to bear fruit. And you know what he said next in there? Jesus said, I write these things to you that my joy will be in you and that your joy will be full. Same thing John said in the first chapter. I write these things that your joy would be full. And there is no more joyful person than the person who dwells and abides and lives in Christ and in the Word and His Father and Him live in them. You have joy no matter what comes down your path. You have full joy. That's the path. That's the journey of joy. So we have an anointing. Everyone here has an anointing, and you already know. You know. Now, don't confuse this teaching here when it says, you have no need that I teach you anything, for the Holy Spirit is going to teach you. This anointing's teaching you. You don't need that I teach you anything. There are people that go, oh, see, yeah, I don't need to read the Bible because the Holy Spirit just tells me everything. That's called revelation. That's not called the Spirit's teaching ministry. That contradicts the Bible, by the way. If that's what you think, I just work off the Holy Spirit because He takes me everywhere all day long and I don't need to read my Bible or pray or study the Bible. I don't need to do that because I got the Holy Spirit. You're actually living against the other scripture where it said the Spirit will come and He will lead us and guide us into truth and cause you to remember what I spoke to you. Why did Jesus give the church pastors and teachers? Why was John teaching? That's not what that verse means. It means I don't need to teach you that Jesus is the Christ and that his words from the beginning, the gospel story about him, are true. You already know that. But there are those trying to move you off that. They went out from us. They were here with us and they left and went out from us, and they're adding new colors to the formula, and they want to take you with them. And you're not going to paint the picture of Jesus. And he's not going to dwell with you. You're not going to see him, and you're not going to bear fruit. Oh, you will gain followers, but it is not the fruit of Christ. And you won't see God, and your joy won't be full. Not the joy of Christ. Be happy, sure, but not have the joy of Christ. He says this in John, 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Little children, you are from God, and you've overcome them. You've overcome all these other people who are trying to tell you Jesus really isn't this Father, Son. Jesus really isn't the Messiah, the Christ. He was just a good man. We have teachings. You've overcome them. You're from God, and you've overcome all this teaching. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And listen to what it says. They're from the world. Therefore, they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. The world is talking. The world is talking to us. Do you know that? The world is talking. Turn on the television. The world is talking to us. Punch up your internet. The world is talking. And the world listens. The world's people listen. But you have an anointing. Don't be moved. Set up housekeeping right there in Jesus and the Word of God. Don't be moved. Don't move to another neighborhood. Stay right there. The world's talking. You stay there. They're from the world. Therefore, they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. John, the apostles, the biblical writers, these first century men, we are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever's not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The spirit of truth, that anointing of the spirit of truth. It's easy to see who's God's and who's not's. The world speaks and the world's people listen. The writers speak, John, Peter, Paul. The writers of the beginning story, Matthew, Mark, they speak. And those of us who know God, we listen. And we abide right there. We know who Jesus is. Tells me right here. I know. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. You don't have to be a Bible college graduate. You don't have to be a Bible college doctorate. You don't have to have any of that. These people certainly weren't that he's writing to there in Asia. And he says, and yet you know. And yet you know. And yet you know the truth. Stay there. Stay right there. You know the only difference between then and now about the world speaking is that now knowledge goes around the globe faster than it ever did before. But the world has always been speaking. The world was speaking to them, and that's exactly what he's writing about. They just didn't have internet or phones. But it was traveling all through the areas. The world has always been speaking. The devil, the Antichrist, has always been speaking. The Spirit has always been speaking. And God says, greater is the spirit that is in you than the spirit that's in the world, and you know and you've overcome because you believed. Now don't be moved by what the world's telling you. The world speaks loud, and the world speaks colorful, and the world makes cool commercials, and the world makes cool programs, and the world does amazing things with technology, but don't listen to it. Stay right here in what you know, in what the Spirit within you is telling you is truth. This is truth. Abide in me. And that's a huge, huge statement right there. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever's not from God does not listen to us. That's a huge statement to say. If you're from God, if you are truly born again, if you're truly a believer, that book you're holding, you know it's the truth, and you know Jesus, and you listen to that book. You abide in that book. And you let it abide in you. That's a huge statement. That's a saved, unsaved. That's a heaven and hell statement right there. Whoever knows God listens to us. Don't be deceived. Many have gone out from us. And they chase every wind of doctrine. They chase every color of religion, every color of thought. Everything about Jesus in this Bible, they're always tweaking and changing. They went out from us, but they weren't part of us. They speak the same language that we speak. They talk about the same persons. They have this Jesus. They have a Bible. They have a church. They have this. They use many of the same languages, but they're speaking different colors. Don't listen. You know better. The Spirit's in you. They're speaking from the world. Don't listen. That's what he's saying. That's the message of this today. And there is no more pertinent message for us today. There is nothing more vital to the church today than this message that he taught them in the late first century. Abide in it. Let his word abide in you, and you will bear much fruit. Tell me this church, tell me this little church isn't bearing fruit right now. We are on a roll. People coming to Christ, lives being changed. It's amazing what this little church, do you know why? Because the word is abiding in you. Impressive? No, we're not that impressive. Technology? No, we're not that technology. Had a guy come up first Fridays, a couple, friend. Couple at Wendy West, no. He said, how many people go to your church? We said, oh, about 60. He said, yeah, oh, that's one of them conservative old churches like my parents go to. We go to a big church sometimes. It's kind of, she doesn't like it, he does, whatever. He likes to get lost. Those are his own words. He said, I said, yeah, our church is pretty big. You can slip in and slip out here and get lost here. No, we're in your back pocket when you come here. Yeah, I said, I got the hymns in the hymn books in the pew. Yeah, that's like my parents. That's not for me. He wants something else. He wants something new, something bright, something shiny. He wants to come in and slide out. Nobody knows he's there. It's his own words. I'm not lying. Wes, what am I lying? You're standing right there. I'm not lying. It's what he wants. Abide in that good old-fashioned gospel. That's why I preach the word to you. That's why you come in here and you don't get a lot of fancy stories. We don't do too much with that. We do a little bit. Our only hope is the word of God, the powerful word of God abiding in us. And we abide in it. And we told him, we're going to be the most powerful little church on the planet. Because we have the power of God and the Holy Spirit abiding, making his home with us. That's why we're doing the things we're doing. I don't care if there's 30 people here, 40 people here. If we abide in his word and his word abides in us, we will win souls. You're making a difference in Donna's daughter's life. I don't know if you knew that, but she was here. Did you see our miracle girl, Janine? She walked up here. I was in the room when they pronounced her dead.
We were in that back room when they come in and they said, hey, we're going to unplug your daughter and she'll slip away quick. It won't be long. She's going to quietly just pass on. She came to your party Friday. She walked up to your party Friday. And she thanked Donna. She thanked the Lord. Your church clapped for me when I came up. I can't believe your church. Because her church that she went to was a church of a different color. And they haven't been around. I don't know where they're at. I think they dissolved or they folded up. They're not here no more. And they certainly haven't been around to love and minister to her. And she said, I can't believe your church did that. So you bring her to church. You bring her to church. You're changing lives. And the power rests here in what you heard from the beginning. And the anointing that you have, abide in it. Stay in it. That's where the power of Jesus Christ is. I'd go through a list right now of people that have come to Christ. Jackie's brother, Ted. Pray for his wife, Janet. She's thinking hard. She's thinking it all over. She's from a church of a different color. She's thinking, Ted's after. Right? Ted's on her. Come on, girl, make a decision. You are moving. The Spirit is moving. There's power in you. We'll take it one life at a time, right? But right now, there's just multiple people coming to Christ who never would have believed they'd ever come to Christ. You hold the power of eternal life in that book you're carrying and in the Holy Spirit who has anointed you. Nobody needs to tell you. You don't need a PhD to figure out who Jesus is. You know who He is. And you know that word is true. If you know Jesus, it rests upon you. You walk out this door with all the power of eternity poured out over you. Go do it. Go kick some booty for Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your power poured out over us in your Spirit and in your Word. We rest in you. We dwell in you. May your word dwell in us. Lord, use us. Use us. I pray our prayer are a sweet smelling oil burning fragrance to you. Lord, may your Spirit rest on us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week, you guys.